This is Inanda Joy.
And I'm Valerie.
And we welcome you
to the practice of living from your heart
while finding oneness in duality.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Ding!
And the angels sing.
I actually know a joke.
You know a joke today? Yes. Let's hear it. Let's start off with a joke. Dun dun
dun. Okay. Well, do you want to start with how are you?
No, let's just...
Okay. All right, Amanda, guess what?
What?
I actually have a joke today.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No, I'm...
Did you write it down? Did you have a joke come into your head and you wrote it down and you thought, next podcast?
No, but I've been telling myself over and over and over again the same joke so I don't forget it.
Oh, I want to hear it.
Okay, you better laugh. Okay. You ready?
You sound like my husband. Okay.
What did the snail say on the turtle's back?
What?
Do you get it?
The snail on the turtle's back?
Think what? Of this, the pace a snail goes. Okay, it's a dumb joke if I have to explain the fucking thing. Think of the pace
no,
a snail
I'm getting
goes.
It. And the turtle.
And the turtle goes. So perspective, the snail on the turtle's back is
oh
like,
oh my goodness. That is a really good joke, even though it takes, yeah, when you have to explain the joke, it's not as funny.
I know.
And that's why.
Okay, I have another one.
Okay.
I'll see if I can get all of the parts right. So we're on an airplane and there's two passengers sitting next to him, a man and a woman, we'll say. It doesn't really matter. And the man sits down next to the woman and they strike up a conversation. And he's like, so do you want to talk about God? And she's like, sure. And she launches into her idea of God. And he goes, well, I don't believe there is a God. And she said, well, oh, no, wait.
I can see your eyes going,
damn
wait.
It. Never mind. I retire from my telling jokes. It was actually really good, but I'm not a joke teller.
I don't really have any jokes either. I'm sorry.
It was really funny. It was like, if you don't know about shit, how do you know about God? That's a punchline.
What?
Oh, because she goes, okay, maybe if I talk backwards, it'll work. She goes, a horse eats grass and poops clumps. A deer eats grass and poops pellets. And,
oh, sweet Jesus. I'm so sorry for all of you listening to this.
We should not use this part. Anyway, she's like, what's the difference between these animals? And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, if you don't know about shit, how can you tell me about God?
No,
that's
no more joke telling. None.
None.
Nine. Well, that was entertaining.
Yes.
So, one of my Mother's Day gifts.
Yeah.
For those of you watching on YouTube, look at this.
Isn't that stunning?
So this is one of three drums that was a sister, their sister drums. And it's all about the metamorphosis and the butterfly. And this is actually, there's light language.
It's stunning.
On the outside of this drum. And then the flower of life. And it's so, like the sound is just.
The sound is beautiful. I know. Would you just like drum a little bit just to bring in that vibration?
I wonder how it's going to sound on the mic.
We're just going to put out that it sounds amazing.
So I first fell in love with drums with shamanism. I learned it actually when I was practicing Reiki or learning Reiki because there's Reiki drumming. And drumming, just like any kind of sound healing, helps with moving energy. But it's interesting because when I will bring out my drum during sessions, it'll evoke different emotions. It helps move the density in the physical body. But there's also something very soothing. And I feel like everybody has such a different connection to the drum. If they have like a, if anyone ever feels like they have like a Native American connection, then this brings them to a home that they're not, they didn't know that they had. I don't know if that makes sense. But there's also a deep softness. So I've really fallen in love with drumming. And what's really cool is not only are they have a deep softness, they also are very powerful, and you can use them in your homes to actually clear out density in your space, because our homes are, especially right now, our homes are our safe places. They're our havens. That's where we escape from the world.
I agree with you. And I feel like, okay, so if you don't have a drum, because not all of us have a drum, what is another way that you feel that would be available or easier for people to clear energy in their homes? Like, what's another practice that, that we could talk about?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. I actually just did a video on this a few weeks ago, and I know that there's a lot of energy up, and a lot of people don't know that you can actually really clear the energy in your home and create the energetics of your home in a higher vibration as somewhat of a shielding to the outside world. Granted, whatever you allow in the home, depending, like in my home, we do not watch scary movies. I don't allow for that frequency to be brought in here. And so there's different aspects that you said as far as your quote unquote house rules, but on the energetics, there are some pretty powerful things that you can do. And I did a video on this a couple weeks ago. I don't remember, because it had come up. And again, I think because energetics are becoming more and more sensitive to us, then we're starting to notice, holy shit, I feel like I have a spirit in my home, or I feel like there's a vortex or something in my home, because it creates this frantic energy. But a few things that you can do is you sage or Palo Santo your house. When you do that, as you're walking around your home and you're creating a smoke. For me, I like Palo Santo. Do you like sage or Palo Santo?
I'll use both. In my daily practice, I use Palo Santos. I feel like sage takes a little bit longer to dispel. Like it's a little bit.
Yeah. I like the smell of Palo Santo better. I like both.
Yeah.
But you go in, you go throughout your house, and you're going through, especially the corners, the windows, and
mirrors.
Yes. And you're smudging is what it is. You're going through and clearing the energetics and any density that may be there. And while you're doing it, you can have an intention or a prayer, and you can say it out loud, or you can just have it in your mind. I'm clearing any of the density. Or what would be something else that you would say, Val?
Well, like if you're feeling a lot of contention in your home, if like everyone is just on edge, there could be some kind of energy that's floating around. And if you can clear that contention.
So I'm clearing contention.
Then there's a higher... you clear the contention and bring in harmony.
Yeah. So when you go through, you have that intention, whatever it is, you'll want to actually open doors at the end to allow that energy to dissipate out of the home. And then you can call in whatever it is. Like Val was saying, I'm bringing in harmony. I'm bringing in peace. I'm bringing in space for whatever it is that you're wanting to create in your home.
And that doesn't mean problems just magically disappear.
It does make a huge difference.
Well, I believe it makes it so solutions are able to come up rather than being stuck in a contentious thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean like it's just the end all be all of, oh, now it's all love
and
light.
Magic,
you may still have to go through some hard conversations, but maybe it's just not holding the energy of contention where no solution is going to be available.
Creates space. I feel like it for sure does. Then getting selenite and black tourmaline and putting it throughout your home is powerful. And I just had somebody message me yesterday that she had just got selenite, and she said her son, I don't know how old he is, he carries a lot of anxiety, and she's like, he always has a hard time sleeping. Just having selenite in the home, he slept better than he has in I don't know how long, the last few nights, which was a really cool thing to have, because I know my personal experience with having selenite, the black tourmaline, saging the house, and makes a huge difference. So I put selenite and black tourmaline in each of the bedrooms, and then I have it by the doors, because your doors are like the energy place where things come in and out, and so it kind of creates a little bit of that higher frequency. Selenite cleanses energy, black tourmaline protects it, quote unquote protects it, or creates a boundary for not letting in denser energies into the home.
I feel like it absorbs denser energies. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if black tourmaline needs to be cleansed. I don't think it does. I don't know if it does. When I say that,
I don't know.
Crystals usually hold energy, so you either put it with selenite. Selenite cleanses energy.
Well, that's why I'm like, if you're using them together, then they're kind of balancing each other.
Yeah, they're next to each other. Mine aren't. They're kind of in different places in the room, or you set it underneath the full moon. The other practice you can get into as well that I feel like, and again, I like offering tools because it's great to talk about some of these things, but what if it's active? Like, what if there's active entities that keep coming in the space? What the hell do I do with that? Anyway, the other thing I like to do is I put sentinels around the house. And sentinels to me look like these big godlike Egyptian type powerhouses that are very tall, very, you know, stoic. And I set them at the north, the east, the south, the west. And then I create like a force field around them. And I, in the beginning, because I've had some denser energies here and I have, this has been a process, but it took probably a good 30 days to really feel like, okay, I've fortified that. And ever since I've not had any issues. Have you ever done like that with doing?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I put warrior angels up on.
Have we talked about this?
Yeah, we've talked about this in a podcast.
Did we talk about all of this?
Not the clearing with the sagers, okay. Palo Santos, but we did talk about putting a boundary up.
Yeah.
Energetic boundary. And what's interesting to me is for me, like I have the intention for my home that nothing that's not light can come in. And my daughter still gets some pretty scary experiences at home. And I'm like, that it's not possible because it's not allowed. And she's like, well, this is what happened. And so it makes me think about time, like timelines. We like to think of it as linear, and we're either in a 3D dimension or we're in a 5D dimension or we're in a 10D, but really that's not how it works. We can't make it into a linear experience. It is all happening at the same time. It's like layer, layer, layer. Which layer am I going to be on? So perhaps because I've set the intention that I'm not going to hold fear, there's nothing but light in my home, I have a different experience than my daughter who is learning how to tune into her power and her experience of a sovereign being. And she still is attracting to her reasons to be afraid, right? And so we're in the same home, we're in the same sphere, but we're having completely different experiences. Mm-hmm. It's because they're all happening at the same time.
And this, on my Friday call, one of the things I was talking about, because most of us are pretty sensitive to energies, especially if you're someone that gets anxiety or you'll get like that nauseous stomach, or you're more than likely an empath, and especially our children are empathic. And for me, like I was just talking to her about, okay, I went into this. When I go into different places, there's so much energy. It's really challenging for me to focus. So she talked about, you can imagine I have a cloak that I put on and you zip it up. But she said, and this is why I'm bringing this up. Sometimes you have to be careful that you don't cloak yourself so much that you're not available for whatever experience is asking to come in, because it is all learning. So she may be asking to learn. And from everything you and I've talked about, without question, she's asking to learn how to interact
right
with this other realm, which is just like you're talking about. There isn't this linear timeline. All things exist in the wholeness of the
right.
One, which also means it doesn't mean we have these veils. We've only created veils because that has been a protection, I think, for us. As far as when we, and that actually is an interesting thought that I'm having right now.
We
probably did create a veil to have protection. Because if we could see everything all the time, it may have blown our circuits right out the gate.
Maybe. I also think it's part of the program.
Yes.
Because if we really knew who we were, we wouldn't be doing this. This is an experience of source having a single reference through me, through you, through anyone else. So we have to have a sense of separation, a sense of illusion for that process.
You're right. And some people are born without having it and they're totally fine. So I do agree with that now that you say that.
But it's probably both. I don't know. You can say it's one or the other. It's probably true.
I think in my experience with what I'm asking to learn, it's removing all the quote unquote veils and this idea that we are separate, because nothing is separate.
Right.
So your daughter's experience is probably wanting to understand how to interact and work with that energy.
Right. And I'm not trying to say that I'm like some more expanded being than her. It's just we're choosing to have a
right.
different experience. Yeah. Like for me, I don't need to dance in the in that realm. Well, I mean, I do dance in the shadow realms, but with not spirits. With spirits.
Yeah.
I've never been drawn to that. I've never seen it. It's not something that feels like a part of my path.
Well, again, I'm referencing this call because Kelly's like, you know, how's your experience going? And because she's my mentor right now with how to be psychic and being aware of that. And I'm like, well, I'm not really having, because she had me write this letter and it's like going to be, she was kind of warning me that all of a sudden I would more than likely start having different things pop into my world and I can create boundaries. And I'm like, Kelly, I'm really not having like, oh yeah, there, I'm seeing things, I'm feeling things, I'm hearing things all the time. And it's overwhelming to me. And she's like, she goes, girl, you have spirits, like a ton of spirits around you now. You're just so busy with everything else that's going on in your world that you're not noticing, mm-hmm. which is an interesting thought too, as mm-hmm. you're talking. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Okay. One other thing that came to mind that I wanted to bring in as a tool, and it works with some of the concepts that we've been talking about, the power of alchemy through setting intentions, like speaking creates an energy field that then creates the outcome, right? Mm-hmm. That's alchemy. And playing it with it in the realm of polarity. So when you have a magnet, you have a negative and a positive pole, right? Mm-hmm. Pole meaning P-O-L-E, like a mm-hmm. compass, right? And they're opposite. And when you put them together, it becomes magnetized. Well, when you put the opposites together, it becomes magnetized. When you put the same together, it
repels,
right? So I was reading this book on DNA the other night, and she was talking about how to set intentions using polarity. And I thought this was fascinating.
Yeah.
Because we live in a dualistic world where polarities exist. Mm-hmm. And finding non-duality is that space where they both exist together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she says when you can create an intention using polarities, you create a magnetic field.
Hmm.
So then you magnetize whatever it is you're wanting to experience to you. There are so many layers of this that was just like, yes, 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 because it's pulling in all of these different things that I'm learning, right? So the way you do it is you have to accept, or not have to, I hate that language, you invite yourself to see that both are always present. We have something we want to experience, and yet we're still struggling with something that keeps us from experiencing mm-hmm. it. And you pull them both into the intention. So the way she does that is you start with, I choose to experience love in a way I've never felt before.
Hmm.
And then you pull in the negative pole of it, even though I don't believe I know what that is, even though I've never experienced that, even though whatever that resistance is mm-hmm. to what you want to experience, you pull it in the same statement. So I choose to feel love in a way I've never felt it before, even though I don't know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings the polarities together to create a magnet. So that's, I'm just starting to like pull that in and go, that makes sense to me in a lot of ways. And that's bringing it into non-duality. We're not pulled into either polarity of, I just want love and light. Mm-hmm. I just want love and light.
But I don't know that I can actually experience it because,
exactly. We still have shadow, right? Because, and this planet is dualistic. Both are present. So learning how to play with the polarities to bring it into a place where they can both belong. So it's not one or the other. It's actually both. And that's why I keep saying, I believe it's both. I believe it's both. Like someone made a comment on one of my posts the other day about fear and conspiracy theories. Well, I feel like people are getting pulled into conspiracy theories, and maybe this is just Mother Nature saying we need a timeout. I said, I agree with you. I think it's both.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't believe it's one or the other. I believe they're both present.
Isn't this what you were kind of sharing with me when we went on our hike Saturday? Because you were talking about, it makes you, it kind of hurts your head a little bit with this idea because, and I'm trying to remember exactly what you were saying. Oh, that's what it was. For me, especially with the surrender thing and the control aspect, trying to put out intentions of what I want to create, there's a little bit of a dissonance with me in that, because in my experience, and I know you'll echo the same, anything that I've wanted has not ever come to pass. Business, I'll just use that for example. I would guarantee that 99.9% of businesses, when they first start and they create their business plan, it never, ever goes the way. It's just pulling blue sky of, hey, this is what we think we want to create, yada, yada, yada. It never works. It's the same thing with when we're trying to create. What you're saying is an interesting thought of, I want to experience love in a way I've never experienced, because I actually don't know what that looks like. So I can't put energy to it because I don't even know what the fuck it looks like.
Right, because you haven't experienced it
right.
yet.
And so it's that surrender of, and this is something I've been trying to play with too, and so I'm really curious to actually read this book, of, I want to experience this in the feeling body, and this is what you and I were talking about. I really want to feel expansive in blah, 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 but I don't necessarily know exactly what it looks like. There's no box to put around it.
Right, because you haven't had experience with it. I actually wrote down a couple of them. I'm just going to read off because...
Well, and when we do put a box on it, it does limit. So I like this. This is an interesting thought that you're presenting.
Yeah. So she says, stating intentions using duality creates magnetism. Even if is the negative polarity. Even if I don't know what that looks like, even though I'm afraid to do that, even though I don't believe that could be true for me, even though it makes me feel stupid, whatever,
right.
is the shadow side. I choose is a positive polarity. So we're setting the intention of what we want to move towards. This is also alchemy.
Well, and it's bringing the subconscious to light, which I think that right there alchemizes it, because a lot of times we don't put voice to, and a lot of times we're not even aware that I want to attract wealth, but I don't believe I'm deserving of wealth.
Yes. So there cannot be, magnetism there. Like, you cannot pull it to you.
Right.
If you just hold the one.
And you're not aware of the other.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, there's probably a part of you that is, but you're not putting any light to that. You're not alchemizing
right.
that.
Right. So, statements follow even though acknowledges our vulnerability and our by default programs. And our by default programs are the ones that we were given to as children or through our ancestral line. They're the ones that are unconscious, right?
The
They're
programming.
Just the programming from the behind the scenes, right? And most of us live a lot of our life by default programs until we start becoming aware. This is a lot of Joe Dispenza's work too, is pulling by default programs up and reprogramming them to conscious programs. I choose expresses the new programs that we're wanting to bring in online and express. So here are some examples. I choose to love myself even though I don't.
Oh, interesting.
Right? I choose to be happy even if I don't know how.
Okay, I want to stop you for a minute. Do you notice the emotion body activate when you say that? For me, the minute you said that, there's an interesting mix of emotions.
It's playing with the polarity.
Yeah. Was interesting.
I choose to have faith in my body even if I'm sick. I choose to speak my truth even though I feel scared. Once we make the statement using the polarity, we release the need for how it manifests. Because we can put so much control in what it needs to look like.
The box.
That we actually pull ourselves out of bringing it to
allowing.
Us. Allowing.
Yeah.
So that's the softness. That's the feminine piece, right? So I believe this is a balance of masculine and feminine. We're using a mental paradigm to create something, and then we're surrendering and softening and allowing it to come to us.
Yeah.
And receive it. That's a huge piece of it, right? She said, also focus on your general state of being rather than on specific preconceived results. That offers a new paradigm over and above the limitations imposed by past experiences. So when we are so drawn, or like we're so fixated with what, like the details of what it needs to look like you said, that comes from our past experiences and it limits us. So if we can surrender and soften, we can be the architect, right? We can provide the structure of what it is we want. We can surrender and let the source, universe, higher self, whatever your paradigm is, be the designer,
mm-hmm.
bring in the elements of what it looks like and trust that it's going to be better than we could have ever imagined, yeah. because it's outside of our past experience. It's something yeah. completely new.
I love all that. I feel like for quite a while, I've always struggled with how to quote unquote manifest. And there's so many different teachers, leaders, thought leaders, whatever you want to say that's been out there. You know, how long was it the vision boards, which I didn't ever really resonate with because that's putting it in a box.
Right.
The house needs to look like this. And then it was the...
Well, it's also the design aspects, yeah. right?
Yeah. Then it was the, well, go into the emotion of it, you know, go into the emotion of how you want to feel. And there's truth in that. This probably is the most resonance for me as you're talking. I'm like, oh, I way feel the truth of that. So I'm really curious. What is the book?
I almost brought it with me. I'll put it in the references, but it's about reprogramming our DNA. And she says, we only use a tiny aspect of our DNA. And she believes that our DNA has been manipulated to be off. And I believe that's to keep us in a slave state.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And so learning how to reprogram and activate, and she says that there's 13 helixes in our DNA, not the two, because mm-hmm. two is duality. And as long as we only have two active, we're always going to be stuck in duality.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And so if we can, and I think the other thing that's fascinating, she ties it to the chakras and that there's 13 chakras. 13 mm-hmm. is also the number of the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
It's been deemed as evil, right? Unlucky 13, which I believe is not, I believe that's the cloak,
yeah.
right? And 13 is actually the number of the goddess.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a more feminine program of DNA operating system.
Yeah. Oh, I love all of
that. Yeah. So 13 strands of DNA, 13 helixes, and 13 chakras.
Well, and for me, this always goes into, and for years, I've always felt like this. Like when I started, I remember going to get my palm read when I was Mormon and like, is this okay? Is this not okay? And then I remember making peace around it with, why wouldn't we give ourselves this maps or this ability to tap more into our ability to be fucking powerful creators? Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we have that accessible to us, whether it's astrology or palm reading or all these
tools? Yeah, yeah. A tool.
And I love this, you know, the idea of the 13 helixes. That's really fascinating. My friend that has a sister drum to this, the ring around hers is a DNA strand. So she does a lot. My friend Amanda, she does a lot of stuff with DNA and but healing a lot of the lineage, and mm-hmm. the way that she does it is very different than anybody that I've experienced. And I'll probably reference her, cause I've talked about her a few times, her and her friend, Michelle, they're both amazing at what they do. And they have, their website is the Sophrenic Collective, and they have like a healing house, and they're really creating some really cool things. And Michelle does a lot more with the mental. She's beautiful with how she can combine. Her intellect is amazing, but she fuses the two. So she does hypnotherapy and hypnosis, and not hypnosis, but some of the stuff that I've done with her, I've shared with you. I'm like sitting there with my two hands talking about different things, and they are slowly coming together, and it's crossing the right brain and left brain and helping to reprogram. And so they both have really beautiful techniques that they do together. And anyway, so we'll reference them as well. But I love what you're saying, because I do think this is the beauty way. How do I want to create? How do I want to manifest? How can I be more aware of my subconscious thoughts so that they're not actively creating my world?
Right.
And like you said, that is a really good way to see what the state of your inner world by what the outer world is reflecting to you right now.
Well, and so many times we manifest from our shadow aspect, and we don't understand, okay, why is this happening again? Why is this happening? Well, because we're not bringing it to conscious level and playing with that polarity. It's not, I guess it's not like we're not getting polarized in it only is this. It's both. It's always, I believe, to come to non-duality, a place of center, it's a both.
Yeah.
Both are always going to be present. And we live in a dualistic world. Why not learn to play with it?
Yeah.
We're not going to transcend it. We have to learn how to incorporate it to a way that it then works for us rather than against us. Instead of swinging on the pendulum,
yeah,
we find the center.
what I think is always, always fascinating to witness, and I'm sitting here smiling, and there's like a huge surge of joy, because when you and I even started doing this podcast, like our awareness levels, like if you can go tap into when we started, you know, let's do finding oneness and duality because we're in a dualistic world. And now we're actually talking about playing with both the polarities. I don't know. It's just fascinating to watch sometimes. I think we forget to look back at the journey and what work we have done and acknowledging mm-hmm. the things that we have done. Like, holy shit, it's really cool to look back and then just to watch our journeys unfold in a softer space. Because even as you're talking with, I know a lot of times we can get angry with, why is my subconscious then? If this is the case and my subconscious, you get kind of angry, which is still, you're on the triangle with it. Instead of just going, this is here to show me something that I am asking to learn. It's not outside of me. It is 100% within me. So what am I going to choose to do with it from that place? Anyways, you're talking. I'm like, I just love that our podcast is Finding Oneness and Duality because I don't know. It keeps coming up and up and up. And then this is a whole, it just popped into a whole other level.
Yeah. Well, did you watch Elizabeth April's Q&A?
I didn't.
Oh, so she talked about playing with polarities.
I feel like you and I always get resonance somehow with, we'll talk about something and then it pops up everywhere. It's super
cool. She was talking about playing with polarities and she interviewed someone. I didn't watch all of it. I turned it off, but she interviewed someone who called herself a cult leader, and she's like, I am so disappointed because I had people who didn't even listen to it and unsubscribe from the very beginning because she said she was a cult leader.
Trigger word.
Because they already had a preconceived idea of what that meant and what that was, and they weren't even open to listen and then decide.
Yeah.
And she was saying, we need to learn how to play with this, the polarities, play with it. And that's why the woman consciously chose the word cult leader, because she knew it would trigger people and she wanted to challenge it.
That is an interesting thought. In fact, what was the show that was on not too long ago that was talking about cult leaders? Do you know which one? It was the question, and it was talking about different cult leaders in the past, and it did reference really most religion. It brought in Mormonism. It talked about that. What was the name of it?
Well, it's a series on Netflix where all things explained, or no, it's just called Explained.
That's what it was.
Called Explained, and they did an episode on cults.
And it was fascinating to watch, and a friend of mine was on it and referenced, and it really was upsetting to her because she does not feel like, really, it's choice. It's a choice point. If someone chooses to go in and speak their truth based off of what they know, you have a choice point as far as if you're going to follow them or not, and that is what you're asking to learn. So if you're choosing to be part of a quote-unquote cult, I mean, I stepped out of Mormonism because I felt like, holy shit, I've been in a cult. And that was my belief, my understanding, and I gained a lot from that experience. So it's not, it shouldn't be, well, like all things, what you're seeing, why can't we look at that and explore that further of what does a cult mean? Why would I be attracted or not attracted to it? Why am I... There's a oxymoron there.
There's a paradox.
Oh yeah.
It's like there's a shadow to everything and there's a light as well.
Well, cults are controlling people.
They can.
And yet
they can.
Yes.
That's the shadow aspect.
That's why people are resistant to it. And yet we as humans, like we talked about in the very beginning, are trying to control our world and the outcome of what is going to happen.
But what if we've only experienced the shadow aspect of a cult and we have never experienced the other side? And I'm just saying that because I don't know the answer. But if everything has a shadow and a gift.
Well, you and I were in a cult.
Well, yes.
So and we did experience.
And the aspect of, well, no.
I experienced the soft side to it.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
The gifts in it.
The beauty in it. Yes. Absolutely. So it's always both.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel the bridge, because we talked about a bridge. The bridge is, and how do these both, like, how is it both? How is the and present rather than a but? It's this.
It has to be this
or
way.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the polarity.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to watch what happens to our planet in the next probably 4 or 5 years to see if there's a way to be in the paradox on the planet. And again, you and I, when we were talking about this yesterday, if we as sovereign beings can become more sovereign beings in understanding that there is no controlling outside of us, the only thing we can do is control ourselves, our reaction to things, how we want to be aligned and do our own healing. And then from that place, if we as a collective started doing that, just our own personal work, guaranteed, even if 60% of the population did this work, our planet would be a more harmonious place. Mother Earth would respond in a different way because we would be in a symbiotic relationship with ourselves, which means we'd be in a symbiotic relationship with all things on the planet.
What this is bringing up for me is the book, The Gene Keys by Richard Rudd. And he has these, I think there's 64 gene keys, and they correspond to our genetic DNA. And each gene key has a shadow, a gift, and a siddhi, which is the transcendent. I believe the siddhi is actually the combination of the gift and the shadow. When you can find the place of non-duality of the two, and not see them as separate, but see them as whole, that's when you get the higher experience of it. And because we've been in a 3D paradigm, we want to put it in a linear form. Mm-hmm. Like you go through the shadow and then you step up a ladder to something higher to get the gift. And then you step up the ladder to get the siddhi.
More evolved. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's linear thinking, and that's a 3D paradigm. I believe all three are present all the time. And it's and he talks in the book that with our DNA, there's two helixes, which puts us in duality. And we can never be out of duality. But when we can activate the third, the siddhi, which is all three, that's when we're in the sacred trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we're out of duality.
Mm-hmm.
And so letting go of things needing to be linear, or letting go of it one or the other, and instead how is it both, brings us into the higher elevated state. So as we go through and we experience different things that will inevitably be happening in our future, because things are changing, deaths are happening, structures that do not support us have to die.
Monetary systems changing. Yeah, there's so many everything. Big pieces.
Both are going to be present. There will be a shadow aspect that we can choose to tune into and experience. There will be a gift. But how can we see that they're both in service of the higher experience?
Mm-hmm.
So all three are present.
Yeah.
And it's not a polarization. It's actually an integration.
Mm-hmm.
So something that may feel wrong or feel evil, perhaps is also, there's a gift there that's going to serve the change that we need.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we can navigate it is by being in our sovereign selves and trusting our bodies, trusting our awareness and what feels right for us, what makes sense, both, and moving from that space,
mm-hmm.
not tuning out, but tuning in.
What's interesting is as you're talking about that, and I'm energetically pulling it into my field, and this idea that all exists at the same time, meaning just me personally, can I be in my quote unquote more expanded state and in those other two places all at the same time? And we have been so programmed that you have to do, you know, even our school system, you go to elementary school, then you go to junior high. I mean, part of that is just part of the age as well, but in anything in life, even work, well, you have to start here and then you go up the ladder. There's been ladders programmed in our
it's
DNA.
It's hierarchical, right? Yes. It's a hierarchy. Yeah.
Yes. And I remember years ago driving with my friend, and her saying, what if healing doesn't actually have to be linear and expanded state of awareness? What if we could just have the intention, I don't want this to be active anymore? And it triggered me. I'm like, well, you do have to go through these things. And I think both, like you're saying, both are true. I think some people can just say, you know what, this isn't how I want to operate my life anymore, and not go through the pain, the shadow, the re-traumatizing. And again, I think you're seeing it even in our outer world. Therapy, I believe, a lot of therapists will re-traumatize. You're talking, you're going into the logical brain, the reptilian brain, yada, yada, yada. And you're not necessarily going into the feeling body. Not all therapists are like this, but most, that's how they're taught. You're going very logical in how the brain function works and the Freudian, whatever. And then there's the healers that go more into the emotional body. And then there's, you know, you can see this in any practice. And I think it would be interesting for you to, those of you listening, to reflect, where are you looking to right now for healing? But when you're talking, it is this interesting, it does glitch the brain a minute. There is, you can feel the wiring of, can all things in my physical, literal, emotional, mental, spiritual body, can all things exist now? Can I understand that the only resistance that I'm having to being more evolved state is just my belief that I am not in an evolved state?
So how would you put that into that magnetized statement of creation that uses both I choose and even though?
I choose to believe that I am an evolved being in this planet right now, even though I have... fears. Would you use fears?
If you want.
I have old programming that believes I have to go through pain in order to have bliss or in order to have light. You're going to be better. I haven't read the book.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, you could simplify it. I believe I can experience an evolved state of being, even though I have attachment to suffering through old programs.
Yes.
Something like that.
No, that was
not
so
that yours
more.
Wasn't wrong.
No, you're, I don't, this is the first time I'm hearing it
right,
from
right,
you.
Right.
So I think it's what you just said.
I just think the more simple,
oh, I agree.
The easier it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can play with it, right? So sit with it, write it down until it lands and it feels right. Like we do that a lot with our podcast title, even like, what do you think of this? And then just tweak it just that one word or two. And then it's like, oh, that's it. Yes. So it's a process. Coming to an ask, and I'm going to throw one out and you tell me what you think. How can I play with duality? Because we live in a dualistic world. How can I play with the energies of duality in creating my reality?
With the manifesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one because that definitely, I think, is whatever that was. I'm like, oh, yep, this resonates.
Yeah.
Will you remind us, though, of giving us an example of a... something that you're wanting to create and the statements.
Okay. So the DNA book that this way of setting intentions came from,
mm-hmm.
even if I don't know how, even if I feel crazy, even if this challenges me, that's the shadow aspect, right? Or mm-hmm. we'll say the negative pole. I don't like negative, but I'm thinking of a magnet, which has a positive and a negative, right? Or a north and a south. That's the south pole, mm-hmm. right? Even though whatever the resistance is or the old program or the old belief or the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And then the positive part is I choose.
Mm-hmm.
I choose, and I did this in my session today. I choose to know what I know, even though I may sound crazy.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What's another one that would be more like?
Okay. So the one I gave earlier is I choose to love myself even though I've never felt loved.
Yeah.
I choose to feel unconditional love even though I don't know what that looks like.
Or even though I don't feel worthy of it.
Yeah, I don't feel worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a big one for a lot of people.
But how can I play with duality to empower myself and create my reality? Because that's really what we're talking about, this process of finding oneness in duality, is playing with the duality mm-hmm. that we live in to find a place of interconnectedness and oneness
mm-hmm.
so that we're more powerful in magnetizing, manifesting, and moving through in a more elevated, expanded way.
Yeah, love it.
Okay, well, have a great day.
Yay.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us today and spending some of your valuable time with us. We hope there was something that you gained in your awareness that you can now share into the world. Remember, you are a divine creator. So what are you creating today?
Come check us out on Instagram, Finding Oneness in Duality. We'd love to hear your feedback. We would just love to hear from you. Please feel free to come check us out.
Relationships are two-sided, so come be the other side.
Finding.oneness.in.duality. It's too long.
Thank you so... Okay, you gotta stop laughing. Oh, you even got it?
Okay. Okay, you had to pull that in. Laughter is good for the soul. All right. Squirrel! Okay.